The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Greetings, everybody. Do you know the Lord? I've been asked that question many times. Have you? Perhaps you have even asked that question yourself when talking to other people. Do you know the Lord? What does that phrase mean? Be careful in answering too quickly, because you might find it's actually different to what you thought it was in meaning. Instead of me answering it for you and you answering it for yourself, I think the best thing to do is go to God's Word and let God Himself answer that question through the inspiration from Him found in His Scriptures, the Holy Bible. So get the Bible and let's turn together and read it and see what He says through His Scriptures in answering the question, do you know the Lord? Turn in your Bible along with me to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. It's laid out here very clearly as far as explaining the understanding of knowing the Lord. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, my little children. Now the Apostle John wrote this under inspiration of God. And so he says, my little children, referring to the church, to true Christians, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He intercedes for us when we deeply repent, and then God forgives us of our sins. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He loves everyone. And He wants to have everyone in His family. He wants everyone to be given the gift of salvation. But in order to have that gift given to any of us, there are things that we must do. And it has to do with knowing the Lord. Now notice verse 3 of 1 John chapter 2. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Well, here it talks about the commandments, the Ten Commandments, the law of God. And it gets even stronger in verse 4 of 1 John 2. He that says, I know Him, and keeps not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Those are very powerful and strong words, but keep in mind, I didn't say that. The Apostle John said that, inspired by Almighty God Himself. And it's very succinct and right to the point. He that says, I know Him, and keeps not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him, if we keep His word. Verse 6, he that says he abides in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. So if you carefully study this passage of Scripture right here in 1 John 2, verse 1 through 6, you will see that in order to know the Lord, and in order for the Lord to know you, it requires living a certain way of life. And that way of life is outlined by the Ten Commandments, which, when summed up, have to do with loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. So, to say we know the Lord is not just a matter of uttering the words. It's not just a matter of having kind, rosy thoughts about doing well. It has to do with obeying God. It has to do with walking as He walked. It has to do with keeping His law, the Ten Commandments. There's more to it than just being sincere. We must be sincere. But we also must be sincerely right, because in fact we can be sincerely wrong. How do we know if we're right, and how do we know if we're wrong? By looking into God's Word, which is the truth, and it will define all of these things having to do with Christianity, Christian living, the right way of life, and yes, answering the question, do you know the Lord? And to repeat, verse 3, 1 John 2, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Verse 4, he that says, I know Him and keeps not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Even though he might be a wonderful person and might be very sincere, it takes more than that. It does take that, but it takes more than that. It takes obeying Him. It takes walking as He walked. It takes living the way of life that He clearly lays out and teaches in His Word. It is a way of life, but more than that, it is the way of life established by Him. Let's see a little bit more about that way. Let's turn over here to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and see what Jesus Christ said. And He certainly got specific in talking about that way. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. He says, enter you in at the straight gate. or the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Now, think about that. We see here two ways of life clearly laid out by Jesus Christ himself. And he says the right way is narrow, it's tough, it's hard, it's going to be very difficult to go that way and live that way. There will be blessings, our sins will be forgiven, and eventually we will be given eternal life, and we will have abundant living along the way. But there's also going to be obstacles, and there's going to be setbacks, and trouble, and hardship, and pain, and suffering, and persecution. That is the straight or difficult or narrow way. Verse 13, enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The easy way, the comfortable way, the popular and acceptable way of life, going along to get along. That's the way that most people choose. They don't want to have any kind of tough time, especially because of doing what God says. They want to have easy times, and they think doing what God says ought to bring easy times, when exactly the opposite is true. Let's notice verse 14. He goes on to say, because straight is the gate, and narrow or difficult is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Difficult, it says, is the way that leads to life. It means we do certain things, and we don't do certain other things. It means we change. We don't stay just as we are. It means that we develop character through following Jesus Christ and obeying Almighty God. It means that we become a new creature in Christ. We change directions. We turn from going the wrong, broad, easy, simple, popular way to going the narrow, tough, straight, unpopular way. But that's the way that leads to life, and that's the way that leads to happiness. And that's when we know the Lord. That involves keeping his law and doing what he says, as opposed to doing the way the world does and living the way the world lives. How many people are willing to do that? Well, not that many. The popular thing to do is just go down the broad, easy way. It's not popular to go down the narrow, tough way that means you're going to get thumped around a little bit and get some bumps and bangs and bruises. And it's going to require action and exertion and sweat and toil and tears. But God will help us be living sacrifices as we let our light shine and as we do what is right and do not do what is wrong. And as we walk as he walked and as we live the way he lived. That's the way that God wants us to live. And when we live that way, the way of serving, the way of giving, the way of letting our light shine, living according to what the Bible says, in our families, on the job, and in our personal lives. We live that way. And when we do, we're going to be happy, and we're going to please him, and one day we're going to be given eternal life. It means we deny ourselves the appetites and the pulls and the gratifications that this world has to offer. And we are filled with the abundant life that God offers, which really has to do more with spiritual things than physical things. That kind of abundant living. But we choose to go that way instead of the wrong way. And therefore, we get to where we really know God because we're drawing close to him. And he really knows us because he's drawing close to us. So you see, do you know the Lord has to do with a lot more than just saying, oh, I know who he is and I love him and he loves me. It has to do with becoming a living sacrifice, living your life a certain way, the right way, and doing it all the way through to the end of your life with his help, in spite of the difficulties that it will bring, along with the blessings. That way that we're talking about and that the Bible speaks of is God's way. It is specific and detailed in his word. You'll find that the apostles of the New Testament church lived that way and encountered a lot of trouble while they did so, but they continued to live that way and they continued to preach and teach that way. We'll see that as we go along. First, let's go to John chapter 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Notice what Jesus Christ said about the way. He said in verse 6 of John 14, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I personify this way. Do what I did. Live the way I lived. Be the way I was when I was on this earth in human form. I set you an example that you should follow in my footsteps. And it is opposite to the way of this world, to the way of greed and get and violence and war and hatred and revenge and disregard for the feelings of others. It's the exact opposite to that. I am the way that has to do with love and joy and peace and serving and happiness and obedience to God, of doing the right thing in marriage and the right thing in the family, doing the right thing wherever we are, whoever we are around, with God's help. And we're not going to always do well in all of that. And we're going to slip up and make mistakes and have to repent. And God will forgive us when we sincerely repent. And then we get going again. But we think a particular way, we speak a particular way, and we live a certain way. And it's the happy way. It's the normal, balanced way. It's the real way that lasts. It stands up under scrutiny and pressure. It's going to be good today and tomorrow and on out into the future. We're not going to have to be embarrassed, and we're not going to have to feel horrible and feel loaded with guilt over bad stuff and situations that we got involved in because we made the wrong choices. Rather, we're going to have peace of mind. And we know that we're human and that we make mistakes. But our intention is to do the right thing and go the right way and be the right kind of individual that God wants us to be. And with His help, we become more and more like that. And therefore, then, we draw closer and closer to God, walk as Jesus Christ walked, and He draws closer and closer to us, and a strong bond and relationship develops so that we know Him and He knows us. And right at the heart of that is obedience to His law, which is the way of life He's called us to live, and one day, therefore, be given eternal life, which is also living that way of love. Notice here in John 14 and verse 6, to repeat, it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. In other words, he personifies that way of life that God wants us to live. And he personifies the character and the perfection and the purity and the righteousness of the Father. So if you were around him and you heard him and you walked as he walked and you lived as he lived, you were obeying God. You were entering into that way of life. You were coming face to face with the character of God himself through Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh. He personifies that way. And what is that way? That way has to do with Christian living. True Christians who live that way of life, day in and day out. Now let's just notice how the apostles knew about this way and taught it and lived it, and how the New Testament church picked up on it, and that's how they lived. And it's not strange, it's not extreme, it's not secretive, it's none of that stuff. It's balanced, it's normal, it's happy, it's caring, it's having fun, it's doing everything with zeal and enthusiasm. But it's guided by the commandments of God. It's going down a particular path where you don't stray from that path. And alcoholism and drugs and filthy entertainment and violent behavior and out of control conduct, you don't find that on that path. You find that down the broad way, which leads to destruction. What you find on the narrow way and the tough path, which Jesus Christ talked about, is returning good for evil, forgiving others when they're sorry, not getting revenge or getting even. It's working hard on the job, giving the employees a wonderful job situation in which they can come to work and do their best. It's loving your wife, loving your husband, caring for your children, and training them up in the way that God says to go. It's being responsible for your duties and carrying them out to the best of your ability. It's letting your light shine so others can pick up on the way of happiness and joy. It's a particular habitual type of conduct that is described in God's Word, as opposed to a type of conduct that is wrong and rotten and bad and makes you unhappy and everybody else, that's also described in God's Word. It's ungodly. It's satanic. It's worldly. That wrong way of life, that wrong type of conduct. And when we say that we know God, and we say that we are Christians, and that we have turned from the wrong way to the right way, we're going to have that fruit, and an abundant crop of that kind of fruit start showing up in our lives. Then people are going to say, he's changed, she's changed, and for the better. They used to lose their temper. They used to gossip. They used to curse and swear and waste their resources. Now they're fun to be around. They're clean. They're wholesome. They're happy. They try to do the right thing. They're kind. They make mistakes and slip up sometime and have to work on it, but overall, they're going in the right direction. They're a different person. They're a new creature in Christ. That's what Christianity is, true Christianity. That's what fulfilling our responsibilities before God entails. That's how we get to know God, and He gets to know us. Notice here in Acts chapter 19 and verse 8, we're going to see how important this point was in the early New Testament church. Acts chapter 19 and verse 8. Here's Paul, and he was in Corinth, and from there he went over to a place called Ephesus, and he found certain disciples there, and he began to instruct them in how to live life God's way. And notice what he says here in Acts 19 and verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading, or reasoning and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And verse 9. And when divers, or some, were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples. He withdrew the true Christians. He separated the disciples, disputing or reasoning daily in the school of one Tyrannius. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. You see, God is not a racist. He loves all people. He shows no partiality to anyone. He loves everyone. It doesn't matter what race, what culture, what kind of individual they are. But he wants us to change and overcome and grow and become more and more like Jesus Christ. But he sees to it that anyone that is called and who understands his truth, he sees to it that they are taught that way of life. Be they Jew, Greek, it doesn't matter what race they are a part of. There's no favoritism at all. And that's what it says here. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And what were they hearing? Well, they were hearing about the kingdom of God, and, verse 9, they were hearing about that way, as we see. And when different ones were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of that way before the multitude, Paul said, well, we're going to separate ourselves from those people because they're going the wrong way, and we're going to get over here and learn how to go the right way. And what was he teaching? That way. Now let's stay right here in Acts 19 and move down to verse 23. Verse 23 of Acts 19. In the same time there arose no small stir about that way. There was a tremendous uproar about what Paul came into town and taught. And the apostles would come into a village and teach that way. And some would love it and want to be a part of it. But most would not love it and not want to be a part of it. And they would turn on them. And quite often there would be a tremendous amount of trouble and uproar and persecution and sometimes violence against the apostles and against the true Christians. And what was it about? It was because people did not want to hear about the way of God, which has to do with loving God and loving neighbor, keeping the commandments, choosing the right way instead of the wrong way. And that's not natural. That's not human. That's not the way we are inclined to go. So there's a battle there. There's a pull there. There's a big amount of overcoming that has to be done, denying what we normally and naturally and humanly want to do and replacing it with what God says we should do and being happy and being blessed for doing so instead of being unhappy and finding trouble for not doing so. Now let's turn over here to Acts chapter 24 and verse 14, continuing to look into the subject of the way of life from God. Acts chapter 24 and verse 14. Here's Paul giving his defense before Felix. And notice what he talks about here. Verse 14 of Acts 24. But this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy. See, it's a particular way. It has to do with a particular type of conduct. A particular way that involves certain choices. As opposed to another way that involves other choices that is wrong and will always end in destruction. But this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, see, they didn't call it a wonderful way of life. They called it heresy. They called it error. They persecuted people who lived that way and taught that. And they called it all kinds of things, like lies and false teachings, etc. And even here, Paul said they called it heresy. But this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. In the law and the prophets. That involves the Old Testament, you see. And Paul said, that's the way I live. And he called it the way. Now, as we've mentioned, that way brings criticism. It brings insults. It brings persecution. You have to be really determined and committed if you're going to live that way and follow through on it all the way to the end. You'll be blessed. You'll be pleasing God. You will understand more and more of how to live and where it leads to eternal life. But you're going to have trouble. And so am I. And so did they. It's promised right in God's Word. Let's turn over here to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 and see what Paul wrote Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. This is why some people start out in the right way and encounter trouble and decide, I'm just not going to do this. I can't take the heat. I'm getting out of here. Other people, they'll start and they'll go for a while and then they'll start to wear down under the pressure and then they'll quit. It's a rare individual that gets going in the right way of life, God's way, and keeps on going all the way through to the end. And when they do, they are blessed along the way and they're going to be given eternal life. Jesus Christ himself said it, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Well, endures in what? Endures in living that way of life from God the Father, explained by Jesus Christ. Notice here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yes, Paul wrote Timothy, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now that takes courage and commitment to withstand persecution. People making fun of you and your family, avoiding you, shunning you, denying you this, and rejecting you from there and from that, and rejecting you in general. You have to really see the big picture. You have to see past the obstacles and the minefields and past the trouble and the pain and the suffering to the kingdom of God and eternal life and realize it's worth it, so we're going to keep on going. And along the way, you have peace of mind. You have God's blessing, and he'll never leave you or forsake you. But it requires that you do certain things and that you do not do certain other things. And choices are involved. And it all is based on following Jesus Christ, obeying God, keeping his commandments, and getting to truly know him, and the fact that he then will truly get to know you. You don't go along with the crowd. You chart a different and better course for your life. That's what the way of life that we've been reading about here in God's Word is all about. It's the abundant life. There's fun. It's action-packed. It brings stunning success with no kickback. It involves the lifestyle that we choose to live. The way we dress, it's balanced and normal. The sports that we enter into, it's fun and not violent. The music we listen to, it's uplifting and inspiring, not ugly and mean and hateful. The entertainment we watch, it's not filthy and raunchy. The friends we have, they want to do the right thing. They're decent and good people. It involves the way our family life is, a home that's filled with peace and caring and working with one another. It involves the way we work. We work hard. We give our employer a good day's work. And if we're an employer, we give our employees a fair wage for the good day's work they turn in. We see certain habits where we can be depended on to do things in a certain way, the right way. And we get rid of the old habits and replace them with right habits. We have a different focus. We're interested in different things than what we used to be interested in. They're positive things. They're wonderful things. They're godly things. It is constructive, this way that we're talking about. It is not destructive. And the end is success, not failure. So you see, it's not a matter of just sitting around and letting life happen and say, I know the Lord, do you? It's a matter of getting fully engaged in life, God's way of life, and truly getting to know God, and he then truly gets to know us. As we've said already, no, it's not easy. But you know what? It's easier than going the way of sin and experiencing the penalties that come with that and eventually losing out on eternal life. Living God's way requires tenacity and perseverance. It requires commitment and determination, putting up with pain and suffering, along with the blessings and joy and happiness and accomplishments and success. Yes, while it's not easy, the rewards are tremendous, and the help is there from Almighty God, always there. Let's turn and see that over here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Here's the kind of Savior we have. We have Jesus Christ as our Savior who says that we are to take the narrow, straight, tough way that leads to life. We have God Almighty, our Father in heaven, who loves us, and he says through John that if you say you know me, you're going to have to keep my commandments. They also promise to give us help. which they always do, and we can count on that. Let's read about that right here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Here's what God's Word says, Hebrews 4 and verse 15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He knows what it feels like to be human. He knows what it's like to come up against adversity, to be persecuted, to be rejected, to be called all kinds of names. He knows, he understands. And so when we go through those things and we come to God through him, he hears our prayers, he answers our prayers, he's there with us. He will take care of us. He won't leave us or forsake us. He won't allow us to just twist in the wind for doing what he says. Look what it says here in verse 16 of Hebrews 4. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And that help will always be there, and we can count on it. Another scripture in the Bible that assures us about that point is over here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Turn there and read it right along with me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." All your needs. He doesn't promise to supply all of our wants, but he does promise to supply all of our needs, be they spiritual, physical, emotional. It doesn't matter. He will supply all our needs through Jesus Christ. That's what he promises right here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. So, as you live your life and you make your choices and you make your commitment, I'm going to go the right way, you're going to be in good company and you're going to be in good hands. You're going to be in God's hands. If you decide, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to go the easy way, the broad way, the popular way, the way of wrong kind of pleasure, the way of acceptance in this world, you're going to be on your own. And you are really going to be wading through a lot of quicksand with no answer and no help in sight. So it's all about choices, day in and day out, the right way or the wrong way, taking the path of true Christianity or the path of unchristian conduct. God has given us the freedom to choose individually, and he wants us to learn to choose the right way over the wrong way and experience the happy, successful life that he has always wanted us to have right from the beginning. And knowing the Lord means obeying God, and he comes to know us. That means living life his way, not our way, and not the way of this world. All the time, every day, and from now on. Please call our toll-free number for free material on the abundant way of life. We'll also send you, free of charge, Straightforward Magazine. There's no cost or obligation to you. Along with that, we'll send you free CDs about the purpose for life and why you were born. All you have to do is call our toll-free number and give us your request. That number is 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. And don't forget to ask for Straightforward Magazine. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.